Speaking of dirty drinks, Madison did sniff a cup that hadn't been washed yet to see if it was tea or coffee in it to decide if she was just going to rebrew on top of the cup or wash it.
Look, we love to conserve water here. It would be a shame to just wash a cup needlessly.
Right, but you wouldn't. You didn't know if it was your cup. Does that ever matter?
But well, it does matter because if it's tea, it's my cup.
The teens were here and they all drank something.
I forgot that. So yeah, they probably and they leave their cups out. So it probably wasn't even my cup. I'm glad I got a new one.
Yeah. This is Be Createful, a podcast about finding fullness through creativity. I'm Joe.
And I'm Madison. And today on episode 71, we're talking about being courageously creative.
Are you sure that 71 is the right episode?
I think so.
I think so too.
Last time was 70. I almost wrote down 80 this time and I thought, well, I skipped like three last time, went back three. Now I'm going to like jump forward 10.
Yeah. It's okay. I think 71 is correct as well.
I think so. But anyways, courageously creative. That's what we're talking about.
Courageously
today.
Creative.
Yes.
Being fearless in your creativity.
Yeah.
Okay. So like most of our episodes, this one was spawned by an experience that one of us had. So
we were totally going to do something different.
Oh, we were. We were going to do something different. And then Madison and I started having a conversation. Well, okay. So this all started because a friend of mine who she's actually the one who sent me Banyan Bridges, the mural artist that I've shared before.
Yes, the wiggly worm.
Yes, she sent me her. She's the one who introduced me to Rachel, who is the one behind Banyan Bridges. Okay, so Rachel from Banyan Bridges had just painted a new mural at someone's house.
Yeah.
And so my friend sent me that message and was like, I freaking love this. And I said, me too. You and I have been talking about painting one in our hall or something. I'm just wanting to put some color on the wall here at McDo. And so she asked if I was for hire. And I was like, duh. And so she has been talking to her husband about doing something like that in the entryway of the kids wing at their church.
Yeah.
And so she told him, and this is a quote from her, I don't trust myself. And to be honest, I'd only trust Joe. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I told her that's the highest compliment.
Yes.
But you and I were talking about this and I said, you know, I've never done that before. Why would she trust me to do this type of mural I've never done before? And so I said, I think that people see in us a fearlessness when it comes to creativity.
Yes.
Like, I think we just exude a sense of fearlessness that we can do it, and it makes people trust us.
Yes, it's like the confidence in ourselves gets reflected and they're like, oh yeah, they could totally handle that.
Yeah. So then we started talking about that.
Yeah,
we're like, wait a minute, stop this conversation.
Yeah, we need to have this on the podcast, because I started thinking about other capable people in my life. Like, I have a friend who I trust, who's similar to you in that she's an excellent planner and she's careful about her decisions. And I feel like she could execute something like that, but she would never agree to paint a mural somewhere. She's like, oh, I'm not creative. Like, I just couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, to me, both people are very capable.
Right.
So what's the difference?
So why would one person say yes and one person say no?
Yeah.
When both people have zero experience in the thing.
Exactly.
Well, and I guess you can't say I have zero experience painting murals.
No, but you haven't painted a wiggly worm mural.
Right.
And you don't know what all goes into that.
No. So it just brought up this idea of being courageous, exuding a sense of confidence or fearlessness. And I think at MakeDo, the participants that we have, we see a range. Don't you see a range of people who come in and aren't scared? They will just do it.
Yes.
And then the ones who are kind of timid all along the way. So today we're going to talk specifically about what characteristics or traits the people who are fearless have. Mm-hmm. And how, if you are not one of those people, you can become one.
Exactly.
We have a similar episode because when I started to prep for this, I was like, I think we've talked about this before.
And what episode is that?
Okay. It was episode 42.
Okay.
And it's called What's So Scary About Creativity.
Oh, all right.
So then I was like, how do we make this different? And you explained it well. Do you remember what you said?
Oh, let's see if I wrote it down. Oh, when you're approached with a creative endeavor, you have the confidence to say yes and to approach it in a way that just you are like, oh, yeah, I could probably figure that out.
Right.
Versus we talked there about like why just starting something can be scary.
Yes. Because it is how being scared to do something could be is a barrier of creativity and how to overcome the fear. And so I think this conversation may, if you listen to them back to back, you may be like, that was the exact same conversation. I don't understand how you're saying it's different. But I think in that one, we were coming from a place of the scared side. Yes. And in this conversation, we're going to come from a place of the fearless side.
Well, I want to take the fearlessness that we have, the courage that we have to try new things. And I want to give that to other people because I don't think that it's something that like, ooh, Madison and Joe are creative people and this feeling is unique to them.
Right.
So I want to bestow this upon y'all.
Yeah. Okay. This might help because there are a couple examples of projects in the past that I've shared that I've been scared to do. Mm. So there's two.
Okay.
And if you've listened to all our episodes, you've heard them.
Yeah.
One is when I spray painted my countertops in my bathroom.
Oh, that was a big one.
Like I was scared to do that. Mm-hmm. I did it. So that's what I mean. It is still the same. I did have a fearlessness about it, but like I still, it felt different. It felt scary.
Yes. That's why I liked using the word courageous here is because you may have the courage to step up and do mm-hmm. something, but you still may be scared about it.
Versus,
yeah.
Here's something that I should have been scared of.
Oh, yeah.
When I opened up the wall in my kitchen.
Yeah. When you told me, I'm just going to take down a wall. I was like, really? You and can like, just do that?
Why was I scared to spray paint my countertops, but like not scared to start ripping the trim off and get the oscillating tool out and cut into my wall?
I was telling, I think, my parents about it, and they're like, how did she know it wasn't a load-bearing wall? I said, oh, well, you know, if it runs, what is it again?
Oh, I looked on YouTube.
Yeah.
And if it runs parallel to the rafter, no, if it runs the same direction as the rafters, it's not.
On YouTube. Don't trust.
Right. If you're thinking of cutting down a wall, look it up.
Yes.
No, I think if it runs the same direction, it's not load-bearing because the rafters are holding it, right?
Yes.
And so if it runs opposite to the rafters,
then it's load bearing. Yeah.
Okay. It could be. It doesn't mean it is, but it could be. So
anyways. Yeah, that is interesting that you were like, yeah, I'll just do this.
Right. I was scared to paint my ceiling.
Okay, that's a little. So what scared you? I'm curious. What scared you about painting your ceiling?
I think that just because I knew it could be something that people do poorly often, but also people paint walls poorly often. It's really high. Like it was upside down. It was a big space. Mm-hmm. You know, when you paint walls, even if it's a big space, you have like a natural starting and stopping spot. And on the ceiling, I didn't know. I don't know. I thought it was going to splatter everywhere.
Yeah.
So I didn't know how to prep for it. It felt really scary. And maybe scary isn't, I think specifically what I was scared about with my ceiling was the scope of the project, how big it felt.
Yes.
And then also not having done it before.
Yeah.
Just to compare.
Yeah, yeah.
That was one I was scared of. Here's one I was not scared of that mm-hmm. was also a huge scope and nothing I had done before. The second garment I ever sewed was a pair of skinny jeans.
Man, when you told me that, I was like, I haven't sewn a pair of jeans at all. I could not attempt. You're just like, yeah, I'm just going to casually make some like fitting heavy fabric pants.
Yeah, but they're stretch.
Yeah, there is stretch, but like still, I'm making myself a pair of skinny faux leather pants right now. They are stretchy, but I messed up and it did not go well.
Now, here's another thing I would say. Knowing what I know now,
yeah,
I don't want to make those jeans again.
Yeah.
you know, the scary thing about that is you don't know what size you actually need or how the fabric's actually going to work. And it's a lot of work to then make them and them not fit.
That's true. I think that's what people get really afraid of when they're like, oh, I don't know if I can do that. Is they're afraid that they're going to spend all that time in the product. It's
well, and
be
you
terrible.
Can't visualize it.
Yeah.
Okay, you give an example because I've just given four.
So this isn't a project I've tackled yet, but there's a chair in the back of Make Do that's been sitting there for a while, and I want to reupholster it. And I thought, oh, I could do that. No problem. But I started telling people that I was going to do this, and they're like, are you seriously going to do that? They were kind of like questioning me, and I thought, I got this.
Right.
Like, it's some sewing. And like when I watched, because I did do some research, I watched a video on it.
I just want the people to know.
Yeah.
To be clear, this isn't reupholstery. This chair is down to the bones.
Yeah, just about.
It is like a rebuilding of the upholstery of the chair.
Yeah, like the batting needs to be replaced.
Yeah, it's not like just take off the old stuff. It's bare. It's not just take off the old stuff and then...
Yeah, I don't have the old fabric to like make a pattern from or anything like that. But still, I'm like, I could probably do that. Because I watched a video, I'm like, oh, people are just like putting this here and stapling it. I'm like, this shouldn't be too bad. But people are like really wigged out that I'm going to do that. And it is a lot of like time and it's going to be some money for the fabric, but.
This might not be the right time to talk about this, but it fit because I don't know if maybe this is a tip, but we're so disconnected from the process of how everything we interact with ends up here. Like our food, you know, our upholstery, our clothes, someone made them.
Like our cars.
Right. I think in our heads, we think, well, I can't make jeans. I'm not a machine.
Well, that's what I tell. I was telling we had a customer come in, or one of my customers came in this morning to pick up an alteration, and she was talking about she crochets. She's making Afghans. She's like, why would anyone want to buy my $300 Afghan when the other Afghan that they can buy is like $50? I said, the reason that works is because the person who made the other Afghan is making very little money.
Right.
Everything we make, and I wrote this down too, is by human hands. Like, yes, there might be machines helping them, you know, but...
But there's not as much... Machines are not as involved as you think that they are.
It is not an automated process.
Now, cars, making a car, maybe.
Yeah.
But upholstering that car, a human did that.
Yes. Someone made your clothes that you bought off of Amazon. Mm-hmm. Someone makes shoes.
Mm-hmm.
There's a process to making shoes, and you can go on YouTube and figure that out. But you're right. That disconnect can sometimes keep people from like, oh, I could probably reverse engineer that.
Right.
Or figure that out.
Right. Okay, so you shared one you haven't done yet.
Yes.
Here's something that I haven't done yet that I'm fearlessly going to do.
Oh, what are you going to do?
So I ordered a new rug.
Oh, guys.
Madison almost spit on her tea. Okay. Again, Rachel from Banyan Bridges. I was influenced
by her.
Was
this the same post that was sent to you where you found this rug?
Yes.
Okay.
It was, you can't see the rug in the post. That she only posted the rug in her stories because she was showing how cool the space was. So she posted this rug and I thought, that rug is amazing. And I've been looking for a rug since I painted all my walls beige, and now my rug matches my walls, and that's no bueno. Yes. I need some contrast. So I've been looking for a rug, struggling to find something I liked, and she posted this rug, and I thought, that is so cool. It's an optical illusion. It has a lot of color in it.
Yeah, it's got some blue, but it's not
it
mostly
blue.
It has
lots of different blues, so it'll go with... Yeah. Anyway, I loved it. Well, the next day, serendipitously, she posted a link. She tracked it down and posted a link of where you could buy it. So I click on it, and it was half price, and it said there was only four left. So I got wrapped up in the...
You had to have it.
I just got wrapped up in all of it. And I knew it was bigger than what I had now, but I also needed something bigger than what I had now. And I thought, this will be fine. So I order it. Okay. When I sent the link to my sister, I realized how big the rug was.
Wait. How big is this rug?
Is 10 and a half.
Okay. That's like normal-ish. Or normal-ish large
by
rug.
By 16 and a half.
16 and a half?
16 feet. I thought my rug at home was 9 by 12.
Yeah.
And I knew I needed something bigger. My rug at home was 8x10. So that means the 10 is consistent.
Yes.
But that is like the long side of the room. Anyway, long story short, and this will go up in my stories. I'll save it as a highlight when I get the rug. But
yeah.
I'm going to have to cut off 4 feet of the rug.
you just going to cut up a rug?
Yeah. So I watched some YouTube and cut a rug. Get it? I thought, surely you can resize a rug. So I Googled it and you can. And there's...
Like, there's not, like, a border or anything on this rug. So you can totally cut it off and it'd be fine. And
the side that I would cut off will go up under my couch.
Yes.
So then you'll never see it. And I'll try to rebind it. You know, some rugs have, like, a woven binding wrapped around the edge. Like, this rug we're on now doesn't really have
binding
at all. It's, like, tucked under. Oh, it does
it
have
it. Some stitching.
Oh, I couldn't see it. Okay. Yeah. Well, this one looks like they've taken yarn and just wrapped it around the edge.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I can mimic that look if I get the right needle and a thimble.
Dude, that's going to be... I'm just picturing you like on the floor watching TV while you're casually just sewing a rug. It's a very cute image to me.
Going across 10 feet.
Oh, yeah. 10 feet. That is a lot.
But
it's repetitive motion.
Yeah. And I won't have to do across 16 feet.
That's nice.
So then I'm going to be left with a 4x10.
4x10.
A 4x10 remnant that I'm going to cut off.
You have like a whole nother rug.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So, it would be weird to cut it. So the part I'm going to cut won't change the pattern. I mean, it'll just cut off some of the pattern, but it won't matter. But to make it shorter the other way, you would like lose the edge of the optical illusion. So that part would maybe look weird. But anyway,
that's okay.
I might try to sell a 4x10 remnant or cut it down even more and put it as a runner in our hall at McDo. I don't know.
That would be so cool.
I don't know.
We'll
so
see.
Anyway.
All that to say, you're
fearless
just like,
I'm
just kind of casually
cut
down my rug. If y'all listen to this podcast with any regularity, you've heard me talk about my winged and armored cosplay. Yeah, I was just fearless about, relatively speaking, about making a set of wings.
Because
I just thought I could probably do that. And the reason I felt that way was because so many other people in the cosplay community have done it and probably have done it with less experience in cosplay than I do, I have.
So you just mentioned the reason you feel that way.
Yes.
So let's move into that.
Okay.
Reasons why. So say your reason why again. You've seen other people do it.
Well, I trusted my own experience. I've been cosplaying for, 5 or 6 years now. I could probably, I have enough experience that I could probably handle it.
Yeah. So that was my first one too, is that I have a lot of practice or experience. Now, sometimes it's not all related to the thing, but it's relevant.
Yes.
So
you've done a lot of painting.
Right.
So when it comes to this Banyan Bridges style
mural. Right. Even a mural in general. Mm-hmm. Like I know I have a steady hand because I've done a lot of cutting in painting walls. So
BT Dubs, the way that you cut in walls for painting is beautiful. I've painted rooms before, but then I tried your method for my hallway, and I love painting.
Wait, what was different about my method? Just in case anyone who's listening is about to paint a wall.
So normally I would go through and I would like tape up all the edges and like be real careful about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't tape up the ceiling. I just covered my baseboard so that it wouldn't get like splattered. And I thought, this is way more fun. And then I didn't have to worry about like peeling off the tape and like wasting all of that.
I think that it also makes you, when you don't tape, it makes you be more careful and you don't get the leaking under the tape.
Yes, where it like bleeds.
Yeah.
Guys, it was awesome.
So I agree with that one.
Yes.
Here is my second thing is that I trust myself to figure out what I don't know.
Yes, I wrote that. Oh, I wrote down, I can figure out any problems if they arise.
Yeah.
Kind of similar.
And so I think when you are, how do I want to say this? When you engage in creative activity, when you're engaging in the creative process frequently, you're always going to run into things that you don't know, and then you figure it out. The more you do that, the more you don't even think about the fact that you're having to do that.
And it doesn't have to be in the same creative activity. Mm-mm. Because since I've been making my own clothes, I've engaged in it and enough where I can kind of, you know, freestyle a little bit. And that gives me the confidence where I'm like, I could probably freestyle in some other creative endeavors too.
Yeah.
Without having a lot of experience.
You know, when we do the embroidery class and even the macrame, I just taught a private party for macrame this week. Whenever I'm teaching how to do something, okay, so like embroidery, mm-hmm. how to change your threads or how to finish your hoop or how to start or finish online, whatever. Yeah. I'm sure there is a right way. I'm putting mm-hmm. that in air quotes. Yes. A right way to do it. I don't know if the way that I do it is right, but what I know is the way that I do it, it looks fine.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times I'm trying to give people that freedom of, it doesn't matter if you end up doing this the same way that I do it,
mm-hmm.
if you're satisfied with yes. how it looks.
We had this happen in our embroidery class. I was teaching the backstitch and some people who had previous experience with backstitching mm-hmm. on cross stitch do it a different way. Their product, their embroidery looked the same as everyone else's, but the back looked a little uh-huh. different and they were happy with it, but it was just different than what we were doing.
And sometimes people think, but I'm doing it wrong. Well, okay, maybe, but there's no test.
Yeah. Like, no one's like, that wasn't a backstitch. That's not a good embroidery. No, it was an embroidery and it serves its function.
I always tell people, are you going to enter this in the county fair?
Yes.
And if the answer is no, then who cares?
Yeah. It's for you and whatever. Yeah.
Okay. So that one was, we went again on a tangent. Yes. That tip was, not tip, trait, whatever.
Yes.
Is trusting ourselves to figure out the things we don't know.
Yes. When I go into a process, I think, you know, someone else did this. A human upholstered this couch uh-huh. before me.
Uh-huh.
I'm a human. I can probably upholster uh-huh. this couch. Again, going back to kind of what we said earlier, almost everything that we encounter is made by human hands, which means you with the right tools, you might be able to do it too. Maybe not a car, but if you need to like resole a shoe, you could probably do that.
Right.
You just need to do a little research.
I think one of the barriers is getting the right tools. And yes. actually, I think even before that, you know, you spoke about research. And so if you're going to research, then you have to type something into Google.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, if you don't know the right vocabulary for what you're looking for, then that can make it feel a little bit impossible.
I will say this, though. Google has made it super easy to just, especially if I don't know the word for something, I'm like, what is, like, I'll just start typing and I'll search it. And then it says, oh, did you mean this?
Mm.
Or, you know, I'll read an article and like, oh, that's what that tool is called. And then I re-Google it.
Yes.
One of my friends works in IT and he has a shirt that says what people think about me. And it says, you know, I'm a tech wizard. And it says what I actually do. And it says, I know how to Google better than you.
Yeah.
If we just learned how to Google better, you could probably figure most things out.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that weird that we have like all of that information at our fingertips?
Well, and it kind of humanizes, this is a whole different conversation. it humanizes expertise, right? Like, mm-hmm. or the expert. And it makes you realize, oh, that person is an expert, not because they're smarter than me. Okay, they may be smarter than you.
Yeah.
But that's not why they're an expert. They're an expert because they have hours and hours and tens of thousands of hours in a field.
Yes.
And doing one thing. Like, look at how much more of experts we've become in creativity, not only because we teach creativity sure. at McDo over and over and over, but also because we talk about it every week.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're always tying anything that comes up in our life. We're like, how can we tie that back to creativity? And so we can tie anything back to creativity because we have practice doing it.
Exactly. It makes me think of, I've got a client right now, my first wedding dress client, which I was really nervous about.
You're altering a wedding dress?
Yes, yeah. I am. And I thought, oh, I'm so scared to do this because it's someone's, like, that's one of the few dresses that really matter for a lot of people. And I told her, I said, here's what I can do, because she told me what she wanted. Mm-hmm. I said, here's what I can do. I'm not a wizard. But I am an expert.
Mm-hmm.
But some people do see what I do as, like, magic.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. It's just I know how clothes go together. And I have experience taking it apart.
Someone at Feldman's or whatever the Say Yes to the Dress
oh, yeah.
wedding shop is, they have their alterations people are working exclusively on wedding dresses.
Yes.
So their expertise is going to be a lot greater than yours
oh,
when
yes.
it comes to a wedding dress.
Yes, exactly. And they're going to have professional tools and probably, mm-hmm. I hope my client isn't listening, probably a slightly cleaner environment. Although I do take extra special care when I am working on a dress
well,
like that.
Well, not even cleaner.
But like
just
protective.
Their environment. All together, like everything about their environment is set up for that one task.
Yes. My environment is all sorts of things.
Yeah, well, we've derailed. Okay. my last one, I don't even know whose turn it is. It's my
Oh, opinion. Yeah, it is your turn.
So the last thing that I think makes me fearless is the mentality of I can fix it.
Like yes.
if it gets messed up, it's fixable.
Most things are fixable.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know why I was so fearless to cut into a wall.
Oh, you're just...
Because that's not so fixable. But no. I do know what it is. It's because I have a friend who that's his job. And so...
You know you could
I
call
could
someone.
I call him and be like, is this fixable? Or, you know... And he did... I did have him come over before I started. And he was like, yeah. oh, yeah, this is what you do. Like, he walked me through the steps and, like, reassured me. Mm-hmm. So.
What makes me feel like I can attempt a lot of these things is because I've seen someone else do it who's not a pro.
Oh.
Mm. Like, knowing, you're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to paint my own cabinets. I was like, ooh, I could paint my cabinets.
Yeah.
You're going to reupholster something? I could probably do that.
You want to knock down a wall in your house?
No. No, I don't want to do that. Mainly because, not because I need it or anything, but just like, I just don't want to mess with that time.
No, and what wall would you knock down anyway?
No, I don't have.
It's pretty open.
Yeah, it's pretty good. But anyways, yeah.
You've
I've seen
someone
else do it. So someone else who isn't a professional.
Right.
Or sometimes even just seeing how the pros do it on YouTube, you're like, oh, that's all that is?
Right.
I can go recalk something.
Yes, that goes back to us being disconnected from the process.
Mm-hmm. Like human hands have to go through and do all of the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I've got human hands. Let me at it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what makes me feel, those are the things that make me feel fearless in my creativity.
Okay. We also know, we want to validate you.
Yes. Because we hear you people going like, I don't feel that way. Someone tells me to paint a flower and I'm like, no.
Right. So we talk a lot about if that's mostly how you're feeling, then, and if you haven't already listened to episode 42, pause this or listen to this yes. and then go back to that one. Because I think we address it a lot more. In that we have a whole conversation about it.
Yeah, sorry.
It's okay.
It was a pause. I think I know these people that are coming by and they're taking pictures of our gnomes
oh.
and our front thing. And this lady also has really cool tattoos. And some people that are just like looking at where I'm like, you're an interesting person.
I didn't really get to see her tattoos because the other girl was blocking
It's
her.
Like, it was black and white work, uh-huh. but it was like more traditional tattoo yeah. work and it had floral designs. Sorry,
yeah,
I'm derailing again.
That's okay.
I'm feeling very distracted.
This is what happens because we record in the front of our studio and there's a huge window and we can just watch people walk by. Yeah. And a lot of times people stare at us.
Yes.
Because they're...
Anyways, so we're here to validate you.
Yes. Listen to that episode because we'll talk about probably all of these things in more depth. But I think one thing that makes it difficult to be fearless is... Because the unknown is scary.
Oh.
So anything new yeah. is scary.
Absolutely. So let's see if I have one that goes with that. No, I don't. But I totally agree. I don't know if I can expound upon that. The unknown is terrifying.
We did expound upon it in episode 42.
Okay. So, yeah. Go listen to that. And I'll move on to my next one. I think people are concerned that they get stuck with an unfinished project. They're concerned about, like, well, if I can't finish it in a day... Or if I can't get it done in a week, then I'll never get it done. And then you're stuck with something that is unfinished.
My whole life is unfinished projects. I'm unfazed.
And
however, I already talked about painting my ceiling. Like that whole process, it was a big project, but it's still unfinished because I haven't put the air vents back on this.
Oh, I think to some extent you just have to be okay with like you were saying, kind of being unfazed about being in the middle of something. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that instant gratification that we get from like Amazon and stuff mm-hmm. really makes it like, oh, if I can just call someone and they're done in a day, mm-hmm. great.
Well, and what's it worth to you?
Yeah. Is it, we'll talk about that when we talk about our tips, okay. But yeah. Anyways,
put a pin in that.
Yeah.
I never understood why people said put a pin in that. Like mark it. Is it like putting a pin on a map? Like
maybe
you're always, marking the spot.
I had to do a bug collection when I was in 10th grade. Uh-huh. And so I always imagine putting a pin in like a bug.
Yeah. I always think about pinning like fabric or putting a pin in a pin cushion.
Oh, yeah.
And I think if you put a pin in that, you're going to lose it. Maybe you're just marking the spot.
Maybe. Anyways.
We are distracted today.
Yes, we are. So mark that.
My next validating feeling is a fear of failure.
Oh, man. And we've talked about that at length in multiple episodes, haven't we?
Yes. So.
So like your countertop, you were really afraid that it wasn't going to come out well.
Yeah. And it didn't. And I had to look up how to fix it and I had to do it again.
So, yeah, that is a very real fear. I don't want to undercut it, but I do want to mention that you could probably fix it.
It is a real feeling.
Yes.
And it is like the big, scary. It's a big dog with a loud bark and no bite.
Mm.
The fear of failure.
Yes.
And so it's very scary, but it's hollow.
Yeah. Cause I know. I don't want to wait for the tips. I just want to say that. Other people fail, even the experts fail. And that's part of being courageous is knowing that you're going to encounter problems.
Right. And in most of the things that we're talking about, we believe that these things aren't only relevant to creativity. You can apply this to any part of your life. However, we are talking today specifically about being courageous within creativity.
Yes.
And so if you fail at upholstering your chair, so what?
Yeah. I mean, I trust myself enough that it will function. Maybe it won't look professional. And I think that was one of my other validating things that people are like, oh, it's not going to look professional. It's not going to look good. It's going to look like a kindergartner did it.
Or it'll look homemade. And we all have that negative connotation with like having someone who makes their own clothes and they look like homely and prairie. But now prairie's kind of cool. But
no, like someone went and bought some weird quilting cotton and they made a dress. Like not cool quilting cotton like we have, but like weird stuff.
Right.
You've gone through it at Goodwill. If you thrift, you know what I'm talking about.
So there's kind of that.
Yeah, we don't ever want to look like that.
Right, aspect. Okay, another validating feeling is comparison.
Yes.
So let's go back to this mural example. You're looking at the mural that Rachel just posted on Banyan Bridges, and you're thinking, I could never do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, don't do that.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't need to, it's not a paint by number. It's not a copy and paste.
Mm-hmm.
So no, you couldn't do exactly what she just did, but you don't need to anyway.
No. The beauty about doing it for yourself is that you can change it up to whatever you want
mm-hmm.
and you can make it easier or more complicated based on your needs and level of expertise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very validating. Got it. Some people are concerned that they're not going to have enough time. And that's a very real concern.
Yeah.
And something you should take into consideration.
Or you don't know how much time something's going to take.
Yes. So that's where research and other things can help out. But I hear you on that. Like that chair's been sitting in the back. Joe gave it to me a while back. It's been sitting in the back for a while. And I'm just now gathering the materials to go and do it. And now it's going to take, I don't know how many hours to reupholster it.
Yeah.
Because until I get in there and like take it apart.
Right. And the first time always takes longer because you're having to watch the YouTube and pause it and rewind and get caught up and then push play again. So it just takes longer.
It does.
That's
my
all.
Last. Yeah, okay. That's my last one too.
So tips.
All right. I'm going to jump into mine because it kind of goes with the last one the last validating feeling I just said. Know your limits. evaluate the situation and determine if you do want to do the thing. So, for example, you were asked if you were for hire for painting this. You evaluated. You're like, hey, I have experience painting murals. That sounds like fun. Like, I would want to do that.
Also, I've been talking about how I want to paint murals at Make Do for like 2 months.
Exactly. So this is an excellent way for you to get out that creative process. So yeah, it is totally something. And you're not having to purchase the materials for it. You know, that's all going to be taken care of. So yeah, that is something you want to do. But when someone comes to me and says, hey, can you make this specialty bolero shawl for this wedding dress? Like, we're thinking about using this fabric. And I'm like, okay, no. I could already tell that even though it may be something I'm capable of doing based on all of the situations and what they wanted to pay me, no, I did not want to do that.
So say your tip again.
Know your limits.
Know your limits.
Evaluate the situation and figure out if you even want to do it. Because as Joe pointed out to me before the podcast, sometimes it takes courage to say no.
Mm-hmm.
You got to save your creative process for things that you actually want to do, mm-hmm. which is a hard thing for me to learn.
Honestly, I have some projects that I've said yes to that I think I'm going to have to go back and say, I can't.
Yeah.
Never mind. No. It involves t-shirt quilts. Okay.
I was just thinking about you and your t-shirt quilts the other day.
There's one I've already started, but I have two that I haven't that I think I'm going to just have to be like, are you okay waiting forever?
Yeah. Otherwise, it's not happening.
Otherwise, yeah. No. It's a no. Okay. I'm going to do mine out of order from how I wrote them down.
Oh, that is okay.
No, I'm not. Okay. Oh. My first tip, and I already alluded to it, is to ask yourself, what's the worst that could happen?
I think that we've talked about this person on the podcast before, the lady that was redoing her bathroom on TikTok over and over again. I think she should have asked herself that question.
Yeah. Oh, because she like painted her countertops green or something weird.
And she painted over the tile like several times.
But see, maybe she was like, you know what? If this doesn't work, it's already in our budget to gut this bathroom and start over. So I'm just going to play around and see how bad I can make it in the meantime.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's it. It's asking yourself, what's the worst that can happen? And once you find that worst thing, is that something that you can either fix or that you can afford to pay someone else to fix?
There you go.
Or can you live with it in the worst? And does it even matter? Like, with the upholstery of this chair, it's a free chair that you got.
Yep.
You do have some cost.
Mm-hmm.
But what's the worst that can happen? If it doesn't work,
then I have tried something and I'm going to lose out on that material, on those materials. However, I always view that as it was a learning experience.
That's
for
what I was going to say. You're gaining. Also, you enjoy learning new creative things and getting your hands dirty and figuring out how stuff goes together.
Yes, that is a very good point. And if that is not you, then maybe you consider that in your cost of whatever endeavor you're trying to do.
So you are reupholstering this chair, not just because you want a chair that is reupholstered, but because you want
to learn.
Yeah.
So and I want to see if I can do it.
So you're getting more out of it.
Yes. You know, my husband buys video games. I buy fabric so I can learn how to reupholster a chair. That's my hobby.
So with a mural, what's the worst that could happen? You mess up and then you have to repaint the wall white.
Yeah. See, that is very, to me, that sounds very low cost.
It's it is not low cost in the sense of maybe time and paint. Like, you may have to paint several coats of white over your mural, but there's nothing permanent about it.
Mm-hmm.
So
I always tell my kids in class, the only permanent thing that happens in here is when we cut fabric. And normally it's me that does that. The rest of them, the rest of the time, the kids can fix whatever they do.
Yeah. So what's the worst that can happen?
Yeah. What's the worst that can happen? Another one of my tips is trust your experience and not just the experience in only doing, you know, I have a lot of experience garment sewing, zero in upholstery, but I trust my experience with the fabric medium to transfer over into upholstery. Mm-hmm. Don't second guess yourself. Know what you know what you know. Have faith in yourself.
Mine is very similar. I said to reframe your expertise or reframe your experience. So you might, like you just gave us a great example. So you could say, I don't have any experience in upholstery. I don't know how to do this, and leave it at that. Or you could say, wait, I have decades of experience with fabric, with sewing, with garment construction, with all these different techniques, with piping, with everything that goes into upholstery. Your hands have touched an aspect of that. Mm-hmm. And so if you reframe your experience and you are able to name all those things, then you see, oh, I do have experience that is adjacent to this thing that I'm doing.
It makes me think about resume writing, how you're supposed to take your skills and make them very general. Resume your creative skills. Don't get so specific and bogged down with all the details. Think about the grand skills that you've learned.
Right. And I think you can even zoom it out enough that you're looking at your, you're tying your skills to just the creative process in general.
Yep.
And so really that gives you expertise in any creative endeavor.
That's why I feel like there's so much more I can do to my house now, just because I have a lot of experience in garment sewing. I know how to follow instructions. I know how to research. And I know how to fix problems should they arise.
Right.
I also know the importance of measure twice and cut once.
And like reading instructions?
Yeah.
Right. So your experience with garment sewing means you can do more than just sew new curtains for your house.
Yes.
Like it opens up anything you want to do.
Exactly. It's just so, this is what's so beautiful and freeing about the creative process. Even just working in one specific niche can give you the confidence to do so much more.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yes. Your turn.
Okay. Trust your intelligence. Trust your research skills. Know that, you know, if you have the ability to, you know, all the things that we talked about when we talked about being a good beginner, trust that. Because there was a person who had human intelligence who's done it before you. You can do it too.
Mm-hmm. Figure out how to visualize it.
That's a tough one. So, that can be tough.
Yes. Let's talk about the mural.
Mm-hmm.
So you can take a picture. This is what I had the teens do when we were doing the 100 Families mural. I took a picture of the space and printed it out on paper, and had them draw their ideas like directly on top of the space. And so then when I ended up designing our final mural, I did all of that in Procreate. But you don't have to have the fancy tools like that to visualize it. You can do it however you need to. When I was little and I wanted to move my furniture around, I would have to do it on graph paper.
Wait, move it around. You as a little person were using graph paper to plan out your room?
Because I would just start moving my furniture and then it never would work well. Mm. So Mooly helped me. Like, we drew my room to scale, and then I drew all my furniture to scale and cut it out, and I would, on graph paper, and I would move my furniture around in my room.
That's so precious. I love that.
So, you know, I didn't have to draw my room in AutoCAD. AutoCAD is like what one of the programs that architects would use to draw stuff. You know, it doesn't have to be the fanciest way to visualize it. Even though, here's another tangent. In college, as an interior design major, I had AutoCAD on my laptop. And I drew our dorm room in AutoCAD and all of our dorm furniture.
Yes.
And we would rearrange our room at least once a semester. And so I would do it in AutoCAD. I'll be like, look, we could do it like this.
I love that. That's so cool.
I love it. I love moving furniture around. You know, I don't really have the flexibility at my house. It kind of feels like it can only go one way.
Well, because of like the shape of like your dining room and stuff.
Yeah.
My husband loves moving around furniture because it's kind of the same way that like painting a new color on your walls. It just gives a new feeling to your house. It's very cool. I was going to say something about that.
Figure out how to visualize it or about the graph paper.
I think it's so easy to just take a picture with your phone. And if you want to try out different colors, you can color on the pictures with your smartphone or you can print them out. And, you know, make yourself a little design board with like, ooh, I want this color and I'm going to see how it goes with this. I mean, that's possible. Yeah. You don't have to have fancy stuff.
No. But we think, because we have so much technology now, I think it makes these things feel like you need to use all the technology.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to.
No.
Now, the technology does make it easier, but you don't have to be able to draw your mural on Procreate and then find a projector. You know,
yeah,
you
know,
it doesn't have to be so fancy.
No. Those were the end of my...
That's the end of yours.
No, I do have one more, but I think did I just go or you?
No,
just,
I did.
Okay. Set appropriate expectations for your project.
Always a tip, isn't it? We're always going back to those stinky expectations.
I know. So I'm not a professional upholsterer. So my first chair is not going to look totally professional, but it may look good.
Mm-hmm.
Like normal people may look at it and just be like, yeah, that's just a chair. And mm-hmm. honestly, that's my goal. It's not for the chair to look amazing and beautiful. It's just for it to function. And for it to be like, oh, yeah, like for them not to know
yeah.
that
okay.
I did it.
This is a free tip because it's not one I wrote down.
All right.
But it's also something we've talked about before.
Yeah.
Nothing is perfect. And look at the things you pay for.
Yep.
They're not great. They're not perfect. They have mistakes or they, you know, you can go to Walmart and find stuff that the seam is already ripped on it. So mm-hmm. you're... Nothing that you purchase, but somehow the things that we purchase, we...
Or that someone else does. Like if someone else comes in and paints your house.
Right.
They can make mistakes too. Or when someone builds your house, they can make mistakes.
But you don't know to look for them because they're not your mistakes. You know, I think about that when I look at my tattoo because it covers up... If you haven't seen it, it's like my whole lower arm.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sure that as a tattoo artist, he made mistakes in my tattoo.
Yeah.
Because there's always mistakes. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what they are.
You know, I was thinking,
I mean, I look at it and I'm like, there's things about it that I don't like if I look close.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing people are afraid of probably about tattoos.
Yeah.
This is a good way to talk about this actually.
Yeah.
It's so permanent. So yes. What's the worst that could happen? Well, it's permanent.
And
so
you don't
you're
like
have
tattoo.
To get yeah. laser removal. But I don't love every little individual detail of my tattoo.
Yes.
But also it's not my art.
Mm-hmm.
It's somebody else's.
Yeah.
And so it's about the overall thing, right? I love the overall effect of it.
It's a lovely tattoo overall.
So.
Going back to the mural, I think your friend wanted you to do this mural because then she won't be able to pick out your mistakes. Mm. You will be able to pick out the mistakes. And that's the beauty of having someone else take care of something for
well,
you.
And, you know, she said she trusts me. So what is it that she trusts me in? Is it that she trusts that I'm going to do it perfectly? That I'm not going to make any mistakes?
No.
No.
She trusts that you're going to fix the mistakes in such a way that it doesn't look like you made a mistake.
Well, and she probably would trust that I have an attitude of excellence that I take yes. to all of my work. And so it's not about perfection, but mm-hmm. I do want it to be excellent.
Going back to the wedding dress client, she goes to church with me. So she sees my Sunday outfits uh-huh. that I make all the time. And so she sees that as like, oh, she's got a level of excellence where she can make, you know, she takes fabric and turns it into these works of art. I trust her with my wedding dress,
uh-huh.
which to me, that is a lot of trust.
Right. And so... If she were to look closely at any of those things that you that
oh,
you
I could
make,
point out to her
right.
all the mistakes.
Right. But she is zoomed out from your work and is and likes it. Same
yeah.
with my tattoo. Like if I zoom out and look at not mine, but all of my tattoo artists, like his portfolio,
mm-hmm.
I love his work.
Mm-hmm.
So and I'm not zooming in on those people's tattoos and picking them apart. So
no.
why would I do that? To my own.
Yeah.
It's very freeing, actually.
Yes.
Okay, so that was a free tip. I didn't write down.
Nice.
I only have two more.
Okay.
One is to grab a buddy.
Hmm.
So, and this was a tip that I mentioned in What's So Scary About Creativity as well. Get someone else to come do part of it with you.
Hmm.
So, you know, Brian, my contractor friend, I had him come and look before I knocked my wall down, and he's like, yeah, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Get the reassurance that you need. And there's nothing, that doesn't mean you're not being fearless, or that's not taking away any of your courage to ask someone else for help.
It's not weakness to ask someone else for a second opinion.
No. And I asked my friend who asked me to paint this mural, I asked her if she would want to help me. One, because it's going to take a lot of time.
Yeah.
So then that will just...
It'll cut down on all of that.
Yeah. But then it also hopefully will give her some encouragement in her own ability too.
Yeah. When I painted my hallway, I got Richard in on it. And he was like, oh, yeah. I showed him how the new technique. He's like, oh, yeah, I can do this.
Yeah. My last tip is just do it.
Have you seen the Shia LaBeouf video? Do it.
No.
Just do it.
Yeah. And this goes back to that first quality that we both said that we have that makes us fearless is that we have a lot of relevant practice and expertise.
If you're engaged in the process over and over again, the creative process, that is, it'll give you the confidence to do it.
Right. Why do we have that? Because we just do it.
Yeah.
So event like you just have to do it.
Yeah.
It's not very glamorous. Or like, it's not a novel tip.
No. It's easier to say, really hard to do. Yeah.
So, but it works.
It does.
Because
if you just do it and you make a mistake and you just keep doing it, then you're going to get better at
it.
Yeah. Woo.
So, all right. What's your sweet? Did you have anything else to say?
No.
How rude of me. I didn't even ask.
That's okay.
Okay. What's your sweet?
I have two sweets today.
Oh, good. Because I don't have one written down yet. Oh, so I was hoping I would think of one.
My first sweet today was going to be that my hair smells like grape soda because I recently dyed it. Mm-hmm. And my hair dye smells like candy, which is great. But I checked my email before I started this podcast and I have three emails from parents about having their kids come and help us volunteer.
Oh.
And they include such quotes as, "Hey Madison, Anna just about jumped out of her seat with joy." Or "My kid is so excited to help with classes this summer." Or "This person was so excited to hear about this opportunity. She would love to help as much as possible."
I love that.
We have so many kids that are wanting to, who just love being here. Mm-hmm. They don't have to come out. I'm going to start crying.
Okay.
They don't come here just to make things. They come here to be here and be part of the community. And it's just so precious to me that we are building this community with such little people that they want to come and they want to help other little people be creative. And it just makes me so happy.
Yeah.
So that is amazing. That is my sweet thing.
Well, that's a good sweet. That can count as mine too.
Yeah.
Well, I'll go first with my sour because I have like seven.
Good. I need a good laugh. So I can check my
account. I've had a rough week. And you know when it started? When we were recording last week and we learned that Pip had fleas and I
You were so sad about, I'm not a good dog, Mom.
Then I like had a really gloomy weekend for no reason. I think there's always a reason that our bodies are gloomy, but yes. It wasn't like a specific thing I
couldn't
was
put
sad
a finger
about.
On it.
Yeah. And so it kind of started with a bad weekend and then Monday I was still like in the dumps and then we've had some issues with our website this week, like some pretty big issues that I've been having to deal with. And what else? Oh, two nights this week, I got like less than 4 hours of sleep.
Oh, yeah. You were. Oh.
So it's just like a lot of stuff. It's too hot.
I know. This is the worst time of year for you already.
But it shouldn't be. Like, it's May. It shouldn't already be so bad.
Like, end of May, sure, but.
No, July. Is it like,
well, if it makes you feel any better, we're getting some 80 degree weather coming up
that'll
soon.
That'll be better, but.
It's still hot, though.
I mean,
guys.
I'm wearing a dress. It's cute.
It is so cute, guys. It's so Joe.
It's just a tiered dress, like
made
a
out of
flowy little dress
material. It's a nice navy blue.
Yeah. It's like making me feel not so hot, I guess.
And, guys, it has pockets.
Well, I wouldn't purchase a dress if it didn't. Hey. I purchased this one. Now, I am excited. So, this could be a sweet I'm looking forward to. I'm going to make another one.
Hey, hey.
With some fun fabric.
I'm so excited. Joe was like, does this mean I'm a dress person? I love it.
And then Madison told me, she said, no, You don't have to be a dress person just because you wear one dress.
Well, and I say that because you made it sound like you're like, who am I now? Yeah. And I just wanted to reaffirm your identity. If you wanted to be a dress person, that's okay.
Yeah.
It's fun over here.
But also, I am allowed to wear dresses even multiple times a week, and that doesn't make me a dress person.
Yes. Again, if you, we talked about this in labels in our... In some podcast, one of our episodes.
Well, speaking of this, this actually goes really well into next week's episode. I think it'll come out next week. It depends on how much editing I have to do. But y'all, I'm so excited. It's going to be a treat. The teens and I are going to have a conversation about identity and figuring out who you are. So I think... I'm just excited to hear what they say.
I'm so excited to listen to it.
Yeah. We'll see. Hopefully I can do like minimal editing, but it could be, you know, I don't know. They don't have experience.
Yeah.
But
they're willing to just do it. So we're going to have them on.
And they're excited to do it too.
They're definitely really good at talking.
Yeah. But sometimes that.
You need more than just that.
You need people who are good at talking, but more so than that, who can like have a conversation. Yes. And they're just at that point.
Yeah.
So what's your sour?
Okay. You know how my sweet was the Marvel movie last time?
Yeah.
My sour is the Marvel movie. I went and watched it and I was I didn't like it. And I'm not going to give any spoilers. I'm just going to say they did one of my favorite characters dirty. And I'm sad about it.
But not in a cool, like, dirty chai kind
of way. No, not in a cool, dirty chai kind of way. In a, I'm really sad and I wish it had gone differently kind of way.
Ugh.
I know. And, like, I had made predictions about it. And I thought, and I was like, I hope they don't do this. But they probably will. And they did. And I was mad.
No.
Yeah. So I, like, sat there and fumed during the movie. And I went with two other people. And they're like... You were turning red during the movie.
I was so mad. I'm glad you could tell.
I think if I watched it again, knowing what would happen, I might enjoy the movie because there were cool visuals and stuff going on. But
well, because one of our teens really liked it.
Good for them. I'm glad they did.
Yeah.
But I was mad.
Yeah.
Anywho, so that was my sour.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's a story in my own head. I can make up other stories or I could go read the comics where they treat them better.
Well, and you know, it is like it is just a movie.
Yeah.
But then we care a lot. You care a lot about these characters. We all have things that we latch onto. And then when it doesn't go how you want, it's just a bummer.
Well, because this is one of my favorite things to engage with. It really means a lot to me to have a certain amount of representation in some of my favorite things. Mm-hmm. And when I feel like that representation goes bad,
sour,
it really chaps my head.
Yeah.
So, but it's okay. It's just a story. And all in all honesty, if that's what I'm mad about.
Right. If that's the worst sour for the, if that's the worst thing you could think of for the week, that's not too bad.
No, I'm okay with that.
Okay, that wraps it up. That wraps up our conversation. I can't sing, but I have courage every week to make you a song. You can do it too. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it too. Try something this week.
Could you hear my dancing? Were you dancing? I hope you were.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Thank you to my dear, dear friend Craig Hudson for our very createful theme music. You can hear more of Craig's music on Spotify under Craig Hudson, that's Hudson with a T, or you can just click on the link in the show notes. Also, be sure to connect with Make Do on Instagram at Make Do Create or on Facebook at Make Do Cersei. And visit our website, makedocreate.org, for upcoming classes, show notes, to order a face mask, lots of things. We'll be back here with another episode next Monday. Have a good week, y'all.